On a Thursday morning, we are always welcome to welcome in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News. Brian joins us basically on a weekly basis, and we take a look at real news, the news that is out there. And every week, it gets curiouser and curiouser. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Good morning to the Breakfast Club listeners as well.
It's, you know, I've been saying this for years, and every time I watch a debate, whether it's a national debate or a state debate, and I see, because I used to be a member of the debate club, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. You were given an assignment to debate something, and normally they gave something that they know that you had to do research on that you didn't support. You had a debate in debate club. You had to choose a side that was something that you didn't agree with, and it was a lot of fun, debate club. Every time I watch these debates, especially the presidential debates, and for over the years, people have been over-talking one another. They don't pay attention to the time limits, so they never really look to me as real debates. But I've always said it cost. I've been in broadcasting since I've been 16, and it costs to put on a mute switch, an on-off switch for microphones. Cost about $3.50 for the equipment. And very simple, you would never get into the situation we've been getting into, and especially what happened this past debate, when that clock ticks down to zero, boom, off goes their mic. Now, people watching on TV and listening on the radio, they will be completely cut off. And if there's somebody in the auditorium, I guess if somebody keeps speaking, it'll be muffled, but they still use a PA system. So I don't know why rules like this have not been used over the years, Brian, because President Trump, when he ran against Hillary Clinton, didn't quite do it this way, but he still managed to walk around her, be in view, and things like that. And what happened this last debate, and I did not stay up for it because I knew it was going to be a Wild West show. I mean, it was...
You missed quite an experience there, eye-opening. As many people have said, you know, shocking but not surprising. And, you know, for people who want to game the system, that's the open discussion part of the debate. That format allows that, which is a surprise to me. And as you know, from your high school years, you wouldn't call this a debate. This was, I don't know what you would call this. You know, Joe Biden called it a disgrace. Others have called it an embarrassment. I just think it was, for many Americans, eye-opening. We got a really good look at how Donald Trump does business.
There were just no rules followed. I mean, the word debate has been thrown around so much that... Even town hall meetings are different, but a true debate, you have an independent moderator, you have people that are somehow either, especially when you're in politics, they are from independent, respected news organizations asking questions, and you don't necessarily have a crowd because there should be no cheering or clapping or anything like that. And strict time rules apply for opening statements, closing statements, replies, rebuttals, whatever. And it's a very, you know, if you can go to any FFA club in the United States of America at any high school, and they know Robert's Rules of Order back and forth, and they know all the rules about debating. And these are high school students, anywhere from freshmen to seniors. And so what we Americans have succumbed to thinking our debates are really not. And this really highlighted the fact that in a true debate situation, no one has the upper hand or advantage at all. And we see now how we've really relaxed the rules so much that it really has become reality TV and nothing more.
Well, you know, Marshall, it's as if people who are well-mannered have a hard time dealing with people who have no manners because they're sort of hesitant to object, to try to be polite, and the people who are not that way, you know, have an advantage because they break the rules. And I think it put on display President Donald Trump and how he operates. No mystery about it, but we saw it firsthand. I don't think he did himself any favors, for sure. I don't think he did any favors for himself at all. In fact, there were times, I think, where, you know, former Vice President Biden was getting a little bit off the rails in some of his answers, and Biden was interrupted so often by Trump that it actually saved, in a way, Biden from going down the wrong road. So it was, eye-opening. A mic cutoff, that'd be very interesting, difficult to operate, because on stage they would still hear him. It would just, for the broadcast audience, they would not hear it, but you'd hear it sort of off mic. You know, if the mic's cut off, but the other mic is hot, you'll hear it from a distance.
Yeah, well, maybe with all these COVID restrictions and they're 20 feet apart, maybe you would hear somebody mumbling in the background. But it's just a horrible situation, and there's a rule. There's a reason why debates have rules, because you want an honest question and answer period, and you want answers given in a succinct amount of time, and everybody is given the same amount of time, whether they're statements, whether they're rebuttals, or what. And it's a very equal forum, and if you are prepared and you have really studied your subject, you will win that debate. All those rules are now gone, and it's going to be interesting to see how this commission changes it, because I've got a feeling whatever changes they put in effect, there's a certain candidate that's not going to like those changes.
And who will game the system. Yeah. It shows, I think, a certain desperation on his part. The polls don't look good, although his internal polls, I've been told recently by somebody who has seen some of them, show him in much better shape than the polls we see publicly. Even so, I think it's just a kind of desperation. And for all the negative aspect of what happened in that debate, and you really did just quite a show there by going to sleep, I had to turn it off at some point because it was annoying to watch. It was, like, too difficult to watch. And I became more interested at some point in seeing what's going on with the Yankees game. To be honest,
it's a sad commentary. And you would figure that the press and especially the moderator that gets embarrassed so much would stand up and say, let us set up real debate rules here.
They had rules. Both sides agreed. Yeah. I know the Frank Fahrenkopf was the co-chair of the debate commission. He is a straight shooter, although he's former chairman of the Republican Party. But he's a straight shooter. I think he must have been appalled at what he saw there. And there's no rule that's going to really rein in someone who's prepared to break the rules regularly, because there's no consequence, except for the fact that I think if people were at home scoring debates like they used to score high school debates, I used to be a judge of high school debates when my son was a high school debater, I think Trump lost on points and on style and on policy.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, but people, there's so many people out there that really don't understand what a debate is all about. And you're absolutely right. If there were a panel of like six people judging this, it would have been 6-0. I mean, because none of the rules, none of the protocols were followed. And I understand people in this country elected Donald Trump because they wanted change. They didn't want somebody from Washington. I understand all that. Not that I agree with it, but I understand people were frustrated. But even people that are frustrated with what goes on, you have to follow certain rules. You can't have this much mayhem. If you want to tear down the system and rebuild it, that's all fine and good. But debates have been around for thousands of years. The rules have been around forever. And you just can't throw something away. It's going to be interesting to see. I predicted now that I don't think we will see another debate. But hopefully I'll be wrong, and hopefully they'll be able to correct it. But
well, the next format is one that is a sort of a town hall where people in the audience, everyday Americans selected by the commission, will be asking questions. I don't think Trump can pull the same thing in that way without being completely insulting to the audience. And he's, of course, claiming now that he trounced Biden, he won handily. That's just more bravado that, belies what really happened. And, his closest advisors, and I've talked to a couple of people who are Republican operatives, they're active in the politics of it, they're stunned and appalled, mostly because he lost the opportunity. He needed to win back some votes, and they don't think he did.
All right, that is the big story of the week. But really, I mean, when you just sit and of course we've got 2 minutes left to hear the one comment that the president made about a group that is even categorized by the FBI as a violent group. I mean, you wonder what he doesn't have to make that statement to hold on to his base. His base is with him through thick and thin, through good and bad. And you just wonder why inject something like that where you basically sound like, okay, I'm telling these vigilante groups, be prepared. You know, basically that's what he did.
Stand
back down
and stand by.
Yeah, and
there
stand
it is.
By,
what's
yeah.
the stand by? Like we may need you. It is very scary. You hate to keep making comparisons to other ugly parts of history in this world, but you really wonder about encouraging vigilante groups to act, and it does raise a question about what will happen with an election outcome that is not favored by Mr. Trump or these groups.
This is going to be a very different election day. Are you going to get plenty of sleep before election day so you can
well,
say
Well, you know, I think we should talk about election week, because it may take a while to know what's going to happen.
Right.
And we'll see challenges in the courts. We'll see all sorts of challenges and claims. I think, certainly election lawyers are going to be very busy on both sides. And it's not clear whether they can call the election that night. And if not, we're going to look for a week of chaos as local county election commissions count the mail-in absentee ballots. That can take a long time. As we know, they can be challenged for a variety of reasons. So, you won't be able to get enough sleep to stay up for that entire episode unless there's a complete rout. You know, early on, look for an election week, not an election night.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch. We say it each week. We'll see what the next week brings. But
you always wonder what could possibly top what we just have happen.
But there's a string of topping, I can tell you that. Brian, we'll speak to you next week. Thanks for joining us again.
As always, Marshall, great to be with you.
Take care. Brian Ross with Real News here on Robinhood Radio. And you can find the podcast, Real News with Brian Ross, at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.